a visit to his homeland, but didn't develop symptoms until he had returned to the United States. He died in a Chicago hospital without diagnosis and without anyone taking any special precautions in treating him, unaware that he had one of the most lethal and infectious diseases on the planet. Miraculously, no one else was infected. We may not be so lucky next time. And on that sobering note, it's time to return to the world of the visibly living. 21. Life goes on. It isn't easy to become a fossil. The fate of nearly all living organisms, over 99.9% of them, is to compost down to nothingness. When your spark is gone, every molecule you own will be nibbled off you or sluiced away to be put to use in some other system. That's just the way it is. Even if you make it into the small pool of organisms, the less than 0.1% that don't get devoured, the chances of being fossilized are very small. In order to become a fossil, several things must happen. First, you must die in the right place. Only about 15% of rocks can preserve fossils, so it's no good keeling over on a future site of granite. In practical terms, the deceased must become buried in sediment where it can leave an impression, like a leaf in wet mud, or decompose without exposure to oxygen, permitting the molecules in its bones and hard parts, and very occasionally softer parts, to be replaced by dissolved minerals, creating a petrified copy of the original. Then, as the sediments in which the fossil lies are carelessly pressed and folded and pushed about by Earth's processes, the fossil must somehow maintain an identifiable shape. Finally, but above all, after tens of millions or perhaps hundreds of millions of years hidden away, it must be found and recognized as something worth keeping. Only about one bone in a billion, it is thought, ever becomes fossilized. If that is so, it means that the complete fossil legacy of all the Americans alive today, that's 270 million people with 206 bones each, will only be about 50 bones, one quarter of a complete skeleton. Now, that's not to say, of course, that any of these bones will actually be found, bearing in mind that they can be buried anywhere within an area of slightly over 3.6 million square miles, little of which will ever be turned over, much less examined, it would be something of a miracle if they were. Fossils are, in every sense, vanishingly rare. Most of what has lived on Earth has left behind no record at all. It has been estimated that less than one species in 10,000 has made it into the fossil record. That in itself is a stunningly infinitesimal proportion. However, if you accept the common estimate that the Earth has produced 30 billion species of creature in its time, and Richard Leakey and Roger Lewin's statement in The Sixth Extinction that there are 250,000 species of creature in the fossil record, that reduces the proportion to just 1 in 120,000. Either way, what we possess is the merest sampling of all the life that Earth has spawned. Moreover, the record we do have is hopelessly skewed. Most land animals, of course, don't die in sediments. They drop in the open and are eaten, or left to rot, or weathered down to nothing. The fossil record, consequently, is almost absurdly biased in favor of marine creatures. About 95% of all the fossils we possess are of animals that once lived underwater, mostly in shallow seas. I mention all this to explain why, on a grey day in February, I went to the Natural History Museum in London to meet a cheerful, vaguely rumpled, very likable paleontologist named Richard Forte. Forte knows an awful lot about an awful lot. He is the author of a wry, splendid book called Life, an Unauthorized Biography, which covers the whole pageant of animate creation. But his first love is a type of marine creature called trilobites that once teemed in Ordovician seas but haven't existed for a long time except in fossilized form. All shared a basic body plan of three parts, or lobes, head, tail, thorax, from which comes the name. Forte found his first when he was a boy clambering over rocks at St. David's Bay in Wales. He was hooked for life. He took me to a gallery of tall metal cupboards. Each cupboard was filled with shallow drawers, and each drawer was filled with stony trilobites, 20,000 specimens in all. It seems like a big number, he agreed, but you have to remember that millions upon millions of trilobites lived for millions upon millions of years in ancient seas, so 20,000 isn't a huge number, and most of these are only partial specimens. Finding a complete trilobite fossil is still a big moment for a paleontologist. Trilobites first appeared, fully formed, seemingly from nowhere, about 540 million years ago, near the start of the great outburst of complex life, popularly known as the Cambrian Explosion, and then vanished, along with a great deal else, in the great and still mysterious Permian extinction 300,000 or so centuries later. As with all extinct creatures, there is a natural temptation to regard them as failures. But in fact, they were among the most successful animals ever to live. Their reign ran for 300 million years, twice the span of dinosaurs, which were themselves one of history's great survivors. Humans, Forte points out, have survived so far for 0.5% as long. With so much time at their disposal, the trilobites proliferated prodigiously. Most remained small, about the size of modern beetles, but some grew to be as big as platters. Altogether, they formed at least 5,000 genera and 60,000 species, though more turn up all the time. Forte had recently been at a conference in South America where he was approached by an academic from a small provincial university in Argentina. She had a box that was full of interesting things, trilobites that had never been seen before in South America, or indeed anywhere, and a great deal else. She had no research facilities to study them, and no funds to look for more. Huge parts of the world are still unexplored. In terms of trilobites? No, in terms of everything.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.